Take your Bibles tonight, please. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 tonight. While you're turning, let me just say one more thing about the teenagers planning their trip, missions trip this summer, and they are trying to raise the funds for it with the envelopes that are out on the table underneath the missions board back there. And so those of you sitting over on this side of the building, you don't probably go that way. So I hope you'll remember to swing by and pick up one of the envelopes, whatever the dollar amount is on the front of the envelope. That's the one you want to take. Of course, pick one that you can afford. I think all the cheap ones have already been grabbed up. So you better get there quickly before the Lord starts to chasten you, and you go, and all that's left is $100 or $150. All right. So please, if you could take care of that for the teenagers, I know they'd appreciate it greatly. All right, Psalm 62 tonight. I want you to follow along as I read this psalm. I'm going to actually only preach from the first verse, but I want to read all 12 verses. So if you'll follow along, please. In verse 1, it says, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah." And as I've told you before, Selah was, it's like a musical rest. It's like the interlude between the first verse and the second verse. And you have a little instrumental thing there. All right, that's what Selah means. It means to think about it, to think about it. So it's like a musical rest. You remember that these psalms were songs, and so they had tunes that went with them. And the temple orchestra played along with them, played the music on the harps and on the strings. And so they would sing down to verse 4, and then they would play an interlude on with the musical instruments, and it gave you a chance to think about what you just heard in song. And then the next verse starts, verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Did you catch that? "Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Think about it. "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." All right, let's pray together. And then from verse 1, I want to speak to you tonight, and I'll explain how I'm going to come get to this in the introduction. But I want to speak to you tonight a message entitled, I'll Handle That. I'll Handle That. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the music we have heard tonight. Thank you for the sweet fellowship that we've enjoyed. And now we ask your blessings upon us as we open the scriptures and as we look at this psalm. I pray that the Spirit of God will guide and direct our thoughts tonight. Lord, help us to see the principle here and to apply it and use it. It's so easy to get discouraged and it's so easy to get sidetracked. But Father, help us to realize where our strength comes from and where our help comes from. And Father, help us to realize that no matter what we have to face in this life, you have already decided that you'll handle that for us. So Father, help us to see these truths tonight and speak to our hearts, we pray. Lift us up now, in Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I'm sure that all of us have had times where we were just so overwhelmed with everything that came upon us that we just didn't know if we were going to be able to get everything that we needed done, accomplished. And then all of a sudden, someone just steps up and says to us with a smile on their face, I'll handle that for you. I'll take care of that. And oh, how sweet it is to hear someone say, hey, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that for you. I'll handle it. Maybe you were trying to plan a wedding, or maybe you were trying to arrange something for your Sunday school class, or perhaps something even more serious, perhaps a funeral. And things just overwhelmed your soul. You just couldn't see any way to get everything done that you needed to get done. And then, like a gentle breeze that blows the storm clouds away, somebody steps in and says to you, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that for you. I'll handle that for you. There is a special relief that just overwhelms you as you realize that there are strong and capable hands that will step in your time of need and will help you deal with those things that overwhelm your spirit. Now, granted, there are certain things that come upon us, and let's be honest, nobody can help us with those. There are just some things that we simply have to buckle down and just do what we can and handle the best way that we can. There are some burdens in life and some crosses which we have to carry that nobody can take away from us. But think about it for a moment. How much more difficult would life be for a lot of us if there wasn't someone in certain times of stress and strain who would come in and stand by our side and put an arm around us and say, hey, just leave that up to me. I'll handle that for you. And when you think about it, this is peculiarly the voice of mom and dad with their children. All right, just think about that for a moment. Our children don't fret over the basic necessities of life. They never question. They don't worry. They don't stress. They don't get all anxious and careful over food and shelter and clothing or protection. They just instinctively leave all of that up to mom and dad. And that is one reason why childhood is filled with such innocence and freedom and joy. Because they have a relationship to somebody who says to them, I'll take care of that. And they don't even have to think about it. Not one time. And I thought about this as I was preparing the message. Not one time did my kids, when they were small, ever come up to me and say, "Dad, how are we going to make it through the end of the month?" Not once. It never crossed their minds. And you see, that's why the Lord Jesus said that you and I are to be like children. We're just to cast all our care upon the Lord, knowing that He cares for us. And it is wonderful the way that the psalmist understood this comforting benefit of being a child of God. In verse 1, he says, now look carefully at it. In verse 1, he said, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God." Now, I've told you all before that I use a Cambridge Bible. And the reason that I use a Cambridge Bible is because it has in the margins, in the center column, it has the footnotes of the King James translators. And that's why I use it. It's the cleanest and it's the purest text of the King James Bible. And that's why I use it. And as I was reading this psalm this week, I noticed on the little word waiteth. "Truly my soul waiteth." And there's a little nine there, which tells me that I can go over into the center column and I can get what the King James translators saw in this verse that they translated waiteth. And what they saw here, they have a little footnote and it says, "Truly," look at your Bible, "truly my soul is silent." Isn't that neat? "Truly, my soul is silent." In other words, I'm not sitting here fretting, worrying, complaining, griping to God about my life, about what has come upon my life. I don't have to sit here and debate with God. I can just be silent and trust God, realizing that He is indeed God. And that He has promised that He's not going to put more upon me than what I can bear. So I just have to trust in the Lord. Now, "truly my soul is silent." What were they saying when they put that little footnote in there? They were saying that David understood that whatever he had to face in life, he could just leave it all up to God and God would take care of the matter. I'm just going to be quiet. I know that God can handle this. That's the point. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to get all stressed out. I'm not going to lose sleep over this matter. I'm just going to let God take care of it. And that is where inner peace comes to a child of God in the midst of the storm. That is where the lights of heaven begin to shine in our lives. And that is where the storm is changed into perfect calm. Once we realize that our Heavenly Father, who loves us, I mean, as a father loveth his children, He loves us. And as soon as we realize that our Heavenly Father can take care of any situation that we have to face, we can then hear the Lord whisper to us, "Hey, it's okay. I'll handle that." And ma'am, we've got no problem if we can get to that place. We're just like children, just enjoying life. All the kids, grandkids came over to the house today. And we all, after dinner, went out back and they were playing on the swing set and we were throwing the football around. And I was sitting in the in the port swing, and I was watching them, and oh, they were just having a ball. They were running every which direction, and I'm sitting there worried about the service tonight, and I'm sitting there worried about this, worried about that, and I thought, you know, bless their hearts, they don't have a care in the world. Oh, to have that. You know, when we watch little ones run around, we say, man, I wish I had their energy. What you're really saying is, you wish you had their carefree spirit. They don't have anything that bogs them down. They're just good to go. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Man, if we could just get this kind of viewpoint in the Christian life, wouldn't it make a difference? Now, there are a couple of things I want you to see. Let's apply this to our lives tonight. Number one, this viewpoint is one of the key elements to a spiritual life. Now, it is one of the key elements. There are several. But this viewpoint is one of the secrets of spiritual life. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether we're talking about King David or whether we're talking about our lives in 2013. Having this viewpoint in life is one of the key secrets for surviving in a cruel, in an unfair, and in a sin-cursed world. Now, I want you to think, for example, of those situations that sometimes come our way where you just cannot understand why this had to happen. We've all had them. We've all experienced them. And if you haven't experienced them yet, hang on, dear friend. You will before long, I'll guarantee it. That's just life. I don't care who you are. We all experience things where we wonder why in the world did this have to happen. Let me give you an example. Just this week, a lot of folks out in Moore, Oklahoma, woke up and they got their children ready for school, and they sent their precious children to school just like they had done countless days before. And then a terrible tornado blew the school building apart. And there are now moms and dads who will toss and turn in their beds for months to come with a pain that there is not a pill anywhere that can remove the hurt and the pain that is in their souls. There are times, folks, when your whole world just seems to crumble and fall apart. There are times when no prayer seems to help. There are times when no friend can offer the right words, when there just is no answer. And if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. And if you've ever been there, it is hard to say when you're there in the midst of it that God is good. And while saying it, truly believe it. It's difficult to do. There are times when we simply have things happen to us that are impossible for us to grasp. And if you've ever been there, you know that there are no words that anybody can say that can help you. We sit and we think and we hurt. And the truth is, we just need to know and we just need to understand. And yet we cannot know and we cannot understand. And when that happens, sometimes we're just like Job, and we sit and we argue and we question and we expostulate with God. And what we find is that we cannot figure things out. We just come to the conclusion that we cannot figure things out. And right there is many times where we end up even more confused and find ourselves in deeper despair because there is no answer. There just is no answer. And my friend, just think about how much better is David's attitude towards God. Just think about that. How much better is David's viewpoint and David's attitude towards God than the way we often handle our tragedies. I mean, think of just how much easier it would be to handle all of life's unexpected surprises if we would learn to take David's attitude and use it for ourselves. Just leave it all quietly with God. Man, it'd be a whole lot easier to live life. But you know, it's hard to get to that place, isn't it? And just about the time you get confident in yourself and you think, well, you know, I'm there. Well, tragedy strikes in your family and you find out you're not there. Now, I'm going to make a statement right here. And I want you to get it. I want you to get it deep down in your soul. But you're going to have to think about it for a moment. You ready for it? Here it is. We are not here just to understand everything that happens to us. Now, we're not going to understand all. Paul said, now we know in part. We are not here to understand everything that happens to us. You say, well, Pastor, why are we here? We are here to glorify God by trusting in Him even when we don't understand. There are so many things that happen to us along the way that the only way we can spiritually survive is to get 100% in tune with God and just glorify Him no matter what happens. That's where David was. Look at the verse again. Truly, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Truly, I'm just going to be silent. I'm just going to let God be God in my life. Folks, I'm saying that we need to learn to be silent. I'm saying that we need to listen to the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father so that we can understand as God whispers from His heart to our heart, hey, I got this. I'll handle this for you. And if we could learn to let God handle things for us, I believe that we'd be a whole lot happier people. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. His meat was not to question. His meat was not to probe or to argue or to debate. When the cup was bitter, when the cross was the heaviest, when the lights were the dimmest, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, you go back and check the record, He left it all quietly to God. And He just let God be God. We need to learn to do that. Number two, this viewpoint, secondly, is one of the secrets of understanding life. You have heard me say that I have a bunch of questions that have come to my mind in 36 years of being a pastor. I've got a lot of questions. Now, some of my questions have been answered by experience. There are a few questions I had years ago that I now have an answer to, I now have understanding of, because through experience, God's taught me some things. But I still have some questions that I'm going to ask when I get to heaven, if I have an opportunity before I get my glorified body. All right, now, truth is, there are a lot of things that puzzle us as we go through life. Isn't that true? A lot of things puzzle us. I have for a long time, I've tried to figure out Christians. I am not doing very good at that. Every time Pastor Larry and I got together, whenever we were flying somewhere or we were driving somewhere to preach or we were going somewhere to eat or going somewhere to preach together, we would try our best to figure church people out. We never did. Just so you know, we never did. And I have come to the conclusion that I'm never going to understand people, especially church people. I'm just never going to understand them. I'm sure that some of you have struggled with the same issue. I know that some have had run-ins and conflicts, and that's all they needed. They were out. Somebody said something to them, or somebody mistreated them, or somebody was harsh to them, or somebody was unkind to them, and that's the only excuse they need. And they're gone. They're out. But for the most part, those of you that are here tonight, you're the church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you folks, you're here. And thank God for you. I mean, you come here to church, and probably for the most part, you love it. And you are growing, and you're serving, and you're basically happy in the Lord. But now you see others often who many times were here for years, and then just all of a sudden they up and leave. And you're humans, and you have an inquiring mind. You want to know. And so you start wondering, why did so-and-so leave? What is so-and-so's problem? And then you start wondering, is something wrong with our pastor that they see that I don't see? Is there something wrong with my church that they see that I don't see? And you hear all kinds of stuff. Oh man, I've heard all kinds of stuff. I'm too loud. I agree with that. I preach too long. I agree with that too. You know, I mean, always harping on the King James Bible. Guilty. Well, he preaches too much on compromise and the contemporary movement. Yep, he does. Guilty again. Oh, he's too political. Guilty again. Well, you know, he beats me up and I feel guilty. All right, that's not me. Now, I'm going to have to stop you on that one. That's not me beating you up. You're blaming me for it. It's not my fault. Folks, I do not have that kind of power. That's the Holy Spirit wearing you out, not me. Now, when your children disobeyed, And you disciplined them, why did you discipline them? To correct them exactly right. So they would do right and not do wrong. And that's why the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And you're blaming me for it, and I'm not the guilty party here. The church is not friendly. I don't understand that one. The church is too big. Well, I don't think it's big enough, but I think everybody in Carroll County ought to come to church here. And half of Baltimore County. And Adams County. And what's that other one up there? York County. But, you know, I guess I have to realize that there are some things I'm just not going to know here. There are some things I'm just not going to get. There are some things I'm just not going to understand. So what do I have to do? I got to do what David did. Instead of wearing myself out over people that don't do what I think they ought to do, I've just got to be silent and trust that God is in control. I got to just let God be God. After all, this is His church, not mine. I've just got to be silent. I was thinking about this. You know, the opposite of faith is not reason. The opposite of faith is sight. Right? If you think about it, you'll see that that's true. So I'm not going to beat myself up trying to reason and try to figure out things that are too high and too vast for me to grasp. You say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? I'm going to follow the counsel of the psalmist. I'm going to preach what God gives me, and I'm going to realize that one day soon I will arrive, and one day soon I will understand. When I see Him, I certainly have not arrived now, and I don't see any chance of me arriving before I see Him. So I'm just going to have to realize there's some things I'm not going to understand right now. So I just got to be silent and let God be God. One day I will see Him face to face, and I will be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. And then I will arrive, and then I will understand. But until that day, I must be silent and just let God be God. It's like Jesus said when He heard James and John fussing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, who's going to sit where. And they were arguing. One of them said, oh, I should be able to sit on the right hand. The other said, oh, no, I should sit on the right hand. Well, you get on one side and I'll get on the other. And they argue, sitting there arguing about it. I'm sure the rest of the disciples were sitting there going, would you guys hush? What about us? But these egoists wanted the prime seat, you know. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, hey, what is that to thee? He said, if I decide not to come for a long, long time, what is that to thee? He said, you just follow me. You just follow me. And folks, that's good advice for all of us. I'm not going to understand everything. You're not going to understand everything. I've been at this too long to change. I've been at this too long to change. I can just do it the way I know to do it. And so I'm not about to change. You come in here, expect to have me say, open your Bible. That's just what we're going to do. I mean, you come in here, You can just say, well, we're not going to have rock music at church, the open door. We're just not going to do it. You're not going to walk in here one day and find New American Standards in the Bibles in the pews. We're just not going to do it. So what should we do? I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to quit fussing over all this stuff. We ought to quit griping about all this stuff. We ought to quit picking about all this stuff and just be silent and let God be God. Because I'm telling you right now, I ain't changing. I'll just say it to you in hillbilly. I ain't changing. So let's just let God be God. Let's serve Him. Let's keep winning people to Christ. Let's keep singing music that honors and glorifies Him. Let's keep reading His Word. Let's keep preaching His Word and just be at it until He comes and our faith is turned into sight. The opposite of faith is not reason. It's sight. Number three, I got to hurry. We got communion tonight. Number three, we must have this viewpoint when we have done our best and failed. You see, the higher the service that we seek to render, the more we are haunted by the sense of failure. Isn't that true? I mean, just think about it. A guy doing a job that he does every day over and over and over throughout his whole life does not fail. He does not fail. But in higher ministries, when we are not working with things but with human lives, when we fail at that, it hits us hard. I had a fella in my church once who was a doctor. And he lost a patient, and it tore him into 1,000 pieces. Oh, he was a wreck over that. You see, when you in a line of work where one soul meets another, if failure occurs, the sense of failure is always greater. And that's why I've got to be careful. That's why these men have to be careful. We are not working with things. We are working with human beings. We are working with the souls of men. And boy, you talk about the devil coming and just wearing you out. When you're working with a soul and that soul does not respond, oh my goodness. It's devastating. And what are we to do when we've given our best and failed? Are we to quit? Are we to give up our noble and valiant efforts towards helping others? Are we to say, oh, well, so-and-so left the church. I suppose I should give up too. No, 10,000 times no. There's a better way. And that better way is the old way of the psalmist. Leave it all quietly in God's capable hands. The truth is, often when we fail, we're actually succeeding. I've told you all this before, but I don't know when it was, probably 10, 12 years ago now. we had a church split about 10, 12, 13 years ago. I don't remember how long ago it was now. But we had a church split. We had about 300 people just leave it. In one Sunday. I was sitting over here and Larry was sitting beside him and we looked around and I said, did we have a church split and I don't know about it? He looked at me and he said, I think we did. I think we did. And you know the amazing thing is, the offerings didn't change a bit. The offerings didn't change a bit. The truth of the matter is, a lot of these folks were sitting here stewing for months, probably years. I later found out some of it went all the way back to Dr. Smith's days. I mean, went all the way back to Dr. Smith's days. Sitting here brewing and stewing with their attitude, which I could see as clear as a bell. You know, I can tell when somebody doesn't like me. I can tell. And they all left on one Sunday. The offering didn't change. A couple weeks went by, and there were new people sitting in their seats. Isn't that amazing? Because everybody has assigned seats. You all know that. Ed Meredith got me all fouled up. He just keeps going that way. We're going to have to put steel beams on the door over there, keep him from going out the side door. Truth is, often when we fail, we are actually succeeding. And folks, I submit to you that we're often doing more good than any of us realize. We win souls, and yet it's difficult to get those folks to come to church. And we feel failure on our part. And we ask, why win souls? I tell you why I win souls. Because my Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You won that soul. You kept that soul out of hell. Why do you let the devil discourage you over that? Our quartet sings a song when we sing. And it says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Folks, we need to realize that ours is not to understand it all right now. Hey, Christian, listen, do your best. Do your best. Keep on doing it. Don't quit. Don't resign your post. That's what God's promises to bless your best. He promises to bless your best. So just keep doing your best for the Lord's sake, and He'll take care of the rest. We sit around and fret and worry and get an ulcer and have to go to the doctor and get sick and lose our hair and we analyze everything. No, truly, my heart, my soul is silent. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Oh, that we would just learn to live with David's attitude. It'd make a difference, folks. I think we'd probably all sleep a little better. I think we'd probably all feel a little better. And I know we would all get along a little better if we would just take it to the Lord and leave it there. Isn't it good to know that you have a God who knows every thought in your mind? He knows every intent of your heart. And He loves you. And that God is right now looking at you with your burdens, with your problems, with your cares, and that God, with a smile in His heart, is saying to you, hey, I'll handle that. I'll handle that for you. You're here tonight, you need to be saved? God can handle that. You're here tonight and you need grace to face this week? God can handle that. You need wisdom? God can handle that. Just take it to the Lord and leave it there.